Robbie and Rex Road with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe Rex Road is not here today. He has bailed for the Christmas holiday. Robbie Stanley here alongside the great Elijah Campbell and Max Herz, what I have affectionately dubbed the Three Amigos today here on this Christmas Eve morning.
We will take calls and texts on potential other nicknames as well, like the Boston Three Party.
Yes.
The Music City Trifecta. I don't know. I'm shooting from the hip here. But
I like both those.
No Joe today. And it's about to be the best 4 hours in the history of this esteemed radio program.
It is. We're on, as you can tell, a little bit later today. Or maybe you can't tell. Maybe you think we're 2 hours deep right now. We're not. We're just now starting. We'll be on till noon today. Stillman and Company coming up from 12 to 4. So we'll have lots of reaction today to the Titans. Big win last night against San Francisco. Elijah and I and Max will be all over that today. Mike Vrabel scheduled to speak here in a couple of hours. Going to be joined by Chris Sanders at 11 o'clock. And Joe Rexrode may be making an appearance in the next hour as well.
So very nice of him to make a cameo on his own show.
He can't let it go.
He can't. No, he finally just gets a day off from this place. And he's like, you know what? I need more.
You know what I'd really like to do? I'd really like to talk to Robbie some more, because I don't talk to him enough.
You guys don't get enough face-to-face contact during the week that he's got to go a little virtual with
That's
you
right.
as well.
Big one last night for the Titans. I'll be honest with you. The first half of that game, really the first two drives of that game, I thought they were going to get mauled last night. San Francisco goes right down the field. It's 7-0. Titans are atrocious offensively, really for their entire first half. We'll get a little bit more into that. Coming up here in just a few minutes. San Francisco drives right down the field again. And then Jimmy Garoppolo in the Christmas spirit last night, just keeping the Titans in the game, chucking some turnovers. Great play by Jackrabbit Jenkins to get the pick in the end zone. Ended up being a huge play in that game. And the Titans in the second half, they come alive. Specifically, A.J. Brown comes alive. And they get it done 20-17. They improve to 10-5. That's a big one last night for the Titans.
Oh, monumental. For a multitude of reasons here. One, it's that A.J. Brown is back. We talked about not like Ryan Tannehill not having any weapons. Why is Ryan Tannehill so bad? Is his protection bad? Does he not have any weapons? Is having Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as your best receiver hurt? It does help a lot to have a physical specimen like A.J. Brown being available for you to throw the ball 16 times to. It helps to have a guy that you can rely on like that, who can make crazy catches like he did on the what I like to call the Aaron Rodgers play.
Yeah.
That Ryan Tannehill got or drew the 49ers offside, got a free play, and just threw it up there, and he went and got it.
Yeah.
Or also make plays after the catch, which is A.J. Brown's bread and butter. I mean, it makes such a difference. Like, Ryan Tannehill looks like such a good quarterback, and I don't want to say that's an indictment on Ryan Tannehill, because that's literally every quarterback in the NFL outside of, like, three or four that don't need guys like A.J. Brown to make them look really, really good. Like, breaking news, football is the ultimate team sport, you know? Like, one thing doesn't happen without the other. And having A.J. Brown makes Ryan Tannehill look a whole lot better, and when he doesn't turn the ball over, it makes the offense look a whole lot more competent, even though it took a good half to do it, like you mentioned. Like, that first half, man, was an eyesore. And A.J. Brown was an eyesore, too, in that first half. He dropped a couple balls, a couple that hit him in the hands, but they came out in the second half and used him as a weapon. And I that's got to make you feel encouraged as a Titans fan. If you win that game 9-6, and Ryan Tannehill has 95 yards passing, and Julio Jones has the game he did, and A.J. Brown had the first half he did, but for the entire game, you don't feel that great about the win, because you're like, how sustainable is this? But last night, the way they won was totally sustainable, and that's by winning the turnover battle and realizing A.J. Brown is a weapon, and to give him the damn football.
Yep, they gave him the football a lot. 11 catches last night, 145 yards, a touchdown. As you said, 16 targets for A.J. Brown last night. Nobody else on the Titans had more than three, so they were pretty deliberate on where they were going with the football, especially in the second half last night. Defensively, you started off really slow. I mean, there are a couple big plays. Like, Zach Cunningham had a huge hit on the first drive. Other than that, San Francisco marched down the field. I don't even think they got to a third down on the first drive. They punch it in there. But then you make some big plays. I mentioned Jackrabbit Jenkins, Amani Hooker, big interception as well. They should have had more. I mean, Rashawn Evans, Jimmy G hit Rashawn Evans like directly in the hands, and he dropped it.
What makes that play so frustrating specifically is Rashawn Evans did everything right on that play. He looked off Jimmy G by, you know, looking at Juszczyk coming out of the backfield, and then immediately, as soon as he knows that pass is coming, gets himself in position, gets his hands up there, and does everything but catch the pass. Yeah. And as Lee Corso used to say on the NCAA football video games, when a defensive player drops a pass, that's why he's not a receiver or a tight end. But he did everything right in that play, and they showed the replay, and he was able to – the way he was able to make Jimmy G, like, or deceive him into thinking he's man-to-man on Juszczyk coming out of the backfield was genius. It was fantastic. It was schemed up perfectly, and the poor guy just hit him off. It bounced off the hands.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, you know, that's a play where Jimmy G – we talked yesterday. You know, Jimmy G, up until yesterday, he's playing some pretty good football for this Niners team. Like, they were –
like his best season.
Yeah, good. He's playing really good. And last night, I left that game thinking to myself, oof, I kind of see what the problem is with Jimmy G. Like, Niners fans are, you know, of course, you know, all of Niners Twitter last night's calling for Trey Lance to get out there and start playing. You know, Jimmy G's going to be the guy.
Development.
Yeah, Jimmy G's going to be the guy the rest of the year. But, man, he had a few of those throws that were just rough. And the part to me that was amazing about the interceptions, he wasn't under pressure. Like, the one, he just sailed the one for Amani Hooker. And great play by Jackrabbit Jenkins on his pick. But it's not like, you know, I know the Titans got after him a couple times, and Denico Autry continues to be a stud. I thought Jeffrey Simmons was really good last night. And Bud Dupree getting healthier, I think you're seeing what an impact he can have on this defense. So I'm not saying the Titans didn't make some plays and they didn't generate some pressure, because they did. But specifically on the turnover plays, he had all day to throw the ball, and he still threw it like that. I was like, oh, boy, Jimmy G.
Yeah, and I think that first interception by Jenkins, too, was perfectly scouted by the Titans, because I think the ball was going to Kittle, right? Like,
it was going
to Kittle. So it's like you game plan, like, okay, when the Niners are in the red zone, they want to get it to Kittle. I mean, he's a touchdown machine. And I think that was as good of a scouting job by the Titans. Almost like you can almost – that interception obviously is going to go to Jenkins in the stat book. But the credit should go to the entire defensive coaching staff as well for helping put those guys in the right position to make that play. I think the Amani Hooker one, like you said, he just airmailed it. And like, here's the crazy thing, too, is like, outside of those two mistakes, I thought Garoppolo played really well. Yeah. He threw for 322. They just, like, the biggest problem with the Niners is after the first two drives, they just didn't finish drives. They were throwing picks in the end zone, or they found a way to stall out. They would go for it on fourth down and get conversions. Like, there were a couple times where I thought they moved the ball really well, and they used Debo Samuel as the weapon he is, and Garoppolo was able to get the ball to playmakers out in space, and stuff just didn't happen. But it's amazing the difference between Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo when one of them throws interceptions and turns the ball over. Ryan, like, what Jimmy Garoppolo looked like last night was a higher passing yard version of Pittsburgh game Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
Where you take a handful of plays, and that makes the entire game, regardless of how well he was able to help the team move the ball sometimes. Those, like, the Titans winning the turnover battle made the biggest difference last night, too, because it kept the Niners from making a 17-0 game early on with that interception in the end zone, and it also made Garoppolo a little more pedestrian, and it didn't let him kill you.
Well, and there's a big play early in the game, too, and I think it was the same drive where they took a 10-0 lead and got up by 10. But, I mean, Juszczyk was – you can't get more wide open than he was on that play.
Yeah, that one was pretty bad. Yeah, he did sail that.
He sailed it over his head out of the sideline. And I don't know what the Titans were doing in coverage on that play. I guess they were just blown in that play. But, my goodness, it was –
one wanted to cover the fullback.
That was one of those balls that you let go and you're just like, I cannot believe I just overthrew that guy. He's wide open. You don't get more open than that in the NFL.
Akin to the Tannehill throw against New England, where I forget the receiver he was throwing to down the sideline. He just, like, sails a little bit. Like, guy beats J.C. Jackson on the route in a close game, too, and just overthrows him a little bit. But, man, like, the Niners' offense is really – that's, like, one of the most unique offenses in the NFL. And we talked about it before we got on air, that Debo Samuel is the most unique skill set receivers in the NFL.
Yep.
And the Titans' defense being able to shut him out or not shut him out, but like be able to make the stops they did down the stretch is huge. And now we're having this discussion about the offense saying, oh, the offense did just enough to win that game and the defense won it. Whereas at the beginning of the season, we're like, is the defense going to be good enough to win them any games or be good enough to make them competitive? Because we knew the offense was going to be good. And it's just funny how the conversation in August
totally flipped.
Is dramatically different than the conversation we're sitting here having on Christmas Eve.
Jim, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says the Titans' plan for George Kittle had him blanketed so completely that if any of our defensive players go on the COVID list, Kittle will go on the list as a close contact as well.
That's good. That's good, and it's factual as well, because there was not a lot of space for Kittle to get to, and it did seem like that was the game plan last night, was to blanket Kittle and make the Brandon Ayukes and Deebo Samuels beat you. I mean, it's hard to game plan around Deebo Samuel because he's used in so many different ways.
Yeah.
But I agree. I mean, two catches, 21 yards for George Kittle. For a guy who was just
Both came really early, too.
Yeah.
I was like, George Kittle's about to have a day.
And that was it. On those first couple drives,
yeah.
You know? Like, the adjustments this Tennessee Titans defensive coaching staff has been able to make this entire season has been, like, you got to tip your cap to them, because that's what's won them a lot of these games, is being able to be adjustable and being able to just keep teams out of the end zone. Like, the Steelers game is a different story, because Steelers couldn't move the ball on them at all. They just scored because they got good field position and were able to start drives in field goal range and finish drives off with field goals. But, like, the Niners were able to move the ball a little bit, but they were not able to finish drives because the Titans wouldn't let them finish drives. Like, that was the biggest difference. One of the biggest differences in the game last night was they just weren't able to finish drives. And the Titans defense will do that to you. And when they're opportunistic like that, too, and they're able to turn the other team over, it just takes so much pressure off of Ryan Tannehill not to have to be the elite quarterback that some in this market really, really, really expect him to be.
Yep.
When Derrick Henry's not there.
Well, and quite the start to the game last night as well, in terms of we spent all day on the show yesterday talking about, I wonder what the offensive line with Kendall Lamb at left tackle and David Questenberry at right tackle and Aaron Brewer at left guard is going to look like. And then all of a sudden, a few hours before the game, we find out, yeah, Kendall Lamb's not going to be playing. He's on the COVID list. So Dylan Radin's out there at left tackle. That was I tweeted out before the game. I just said live shot of Ryan Tannehill walking into the game, and it was the kid from Little Giants. It's like all in the bubble wrap and the tape and
looks
all
like
stuff.
Looks like the Michelin Man walking around.
Moving in there. I was like, I expected Ryan Tannehill to almost literally be running for his life in this game. And look, they got after him. I mean, they ended up they put some pressure on Tannehill. What did they end up with? Four sacks on the night? Yeah, I think he had four sacks on the night. So it's not like Tannehill was sitting there all night with a clean pocket. But, I mean, I didn't think that Dylan Radin's just get absolutely obliterated on every play. So that was probably a good start, too.
He made some plays.
Yeah.
I mean, he was able to keep, you know, like, cause it wasn't like the Titans just had to go quit passing game the entire time. Like, they were still running some play action. They started off the game running play action.
Yeah.
And I remember on that first drive, that first play action play where it got blown up in a millisecond, I was like, with this offensive line, you really think you're going to have time to run a ton of play action in this game? And I remember just thinking, like, if that's how it's going to be all night, like, the Titans might not get past the 50. But, like, the Titans' offensive line really did a hell of a job of kind of adjusting to that. And Dylan Radin's kind of – he grew up last night. I think that's a good way to put it, is that Dylan Radin's grew up a little bit last night. When you have to face against Nick Bosa and that Niners defensive front that's been so good all year at stopping the run and pressuring the other team's quarterback – it's a big test. And I don't think he dominated the game by any sense of the imagination. And I'm not trying to say this kid's going to be a Pro Bowler one day, but he did a very serviceable job keeping Ryan Tannehill's pocket clean enough for them to be able to, you know, target A.J. Brown 16 times and be able to utilize the Pro Bowl-esque receiver that you have coming off IR.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Elijah Campbell and Max Herz here in with me today on the program. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to break down A.J. Brown's monster performance last night coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, folks. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day so far. And if you're not, it's about to get wonderful listening to myself, Elijah Campbell, and Max Herz breaking down the Titans for the next 4 hours, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Speaking of thoughts on the text line, let's go to the text line. Jeff texting in, happy holidays to you all. I'm happy and surprised the Titans won last night. However, I'm still most displeased with our offensive play calling. If not for A.J. Brown's excellent game, it would have been another stinker game and loss on the shoulders of the offense. And to that point, it was getting restless out there in the first half, both at Nissan Stadium where the boos were raining down. I know on Twitter that's pretty much all people were talking about last night was, what in the world's Todd Downing doing? The play calling in the first half, quite frankly, like I just thought was atrocious for the most part. I thought it was really a horrible half of football for the Titans. Obviously, you get shut out. It's easy to say that. But just the way the game was going, some of the decisions, you know, they had a, I think it was a 3rd and 15 on the first drive after they had given up a sack or whatever happened on first downs, which were atrocious last night for the Titans for the most part. And it was just like this surrender draw play. And I'm like, dude, if this is the way you're going to coach and this is the way you're going to play the game, good luck winning. Like, I understand you've got a makeshift offensive line out there. You got to find a way to at least try to throw the ball down the field. Now, of course, eventually they did in the second half, and A.J. Brown took over. But there's a whole lot of frustration from Todd Downing or directed at Todd Downing last night from Titans fans.
Yeah, I think rightfully so in that first half, because I can understand the frustration, because I was sitting there a little confused. You know, I mentioned the last segment too. You have a makeshift offensive line. I mean, it's stitched together hours before the game, basically, against Nick Bosa in one of the hottest defenses in football right now, and you think you have enough time to run play action? Like, a couple of those got blown up so fast. But I think one thing I'll push back on is I think Todd Downing, like, the reason A.J. Brown, one of the reasons why he had such an excellent game was because he had 16 targets. I mean, he was finally targeted enough in spaces where plays designed for him to make a difference happened. And I think that kind of involvement definitely, you know, it's obviously not all Todd Downing, because A.J. Brown's the one who makes the plays. Ryan Tannehill's the one that makes the throws. But I think the play calling got a lot better in the second half,
yeah,
where he realized, okay, well, A.J.'s 100%. And to still trust A.J. Brown after a couple of the drops he had in the first half, I think also shows some confidence to A.J. that the coaching staff has. And I think Todd Downing, for grading it, I mean, I think I'd give him a B, just because, like, the first half was probably an F. But, you know, when protection gets a little better, everybody looks a lot better. You can call some play action when you have a little more than a second and a half to make a decision and be able to make a play. I think that's where Todd Downing contributed to last night's win, was being able to see what he can and can't do based off of what the first half looked like.
Yeah, and A.J. Brown, a big part of that in the second half. 16 targets on the game, 11 catches, 145 yards. And they got in a rhythm there offensively where he just took over. I mean, it was Tannehill was looking his way. You know, there were some – you know, I thought Tannehill, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show, you know, the just gripping it and ripping it throws that have been, I think, missing a little bit this year, tight window throws. He made a couple of those last night. There was one on the sideline for a big first down that got in between traffic, and A.J. Brown made the catch. And then, look, I mean, the touchdown pass to A.J. Brown, that was a great throw. That was a great throw by Tannehill. Obviously, you know, a good route by A.J. Brown there to get open. But Tannehill slung that ball. And, look, you know, it's easy to say this, but and I think it's obvious, probably a little bit more confident slinging that thing as a quarterback when you know number 11's on the receiving end.
And there's chemistry between those two as well. I mean, like, the timing that it requires to know where A.J. Brown's going to be at that exact time, because, I mean, he threw it with A.J. Brown's extended hands and hit him right in the hands.
Yep.
He knew where A.J. Brown was going to be at that very second, and that's something that happens really well when there's a lot of chemistry between quarterback and receiver. And I think that's the one thing that we're missing with Julio, too, is he's been so banged up all year that they've never been able to establish that level of chemistry. I mean, if Julio's been healthy all year long, maybe we see more of that. We see more than one target to Julio Jones on a December 23rd game, in a game that you really need to get to seal this division here. To me, like, that play, as good as it was, that was a chemistry touchdown between Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown.
Randy from Bucksnort tweeting in. Longtime listener, first time texter, watching the show on YouTube, and there's a folding chair still in the studio. Did Rexrode not appreciate his Christmas gift from that former boss of 102.5 The Game? Great show, fellas. Tighten up. Rexrode did leave the folding chair.
He did.
Behind.
I was wondering why that was here. I got into my squeaky chair that Chase McCabe likes to sit in during Darren Donick and Chase that has become a subject of quite the show infamy. And there's now this chair sitting behind it. I've wondered what that is or what that's been here for.
Just Rexrode. You know, he's been known to break a few, so.
I was going to say, that doesn't look sturdy enough for Rexrode. He's broken bigger chairs. You know, if we're going to have a chair scouting report here, I think this one probably isn't good man-to-man on Joe Rexrode.
Probably not. Thanks for the text, Randy. We appreciate you. Tyler texting in. That touchdown to A.J. Brown was what TD calls a how dare you throw, and man, I'm here for it. We needed A.J. back badly. I mean, I will say, the Titans, what are they this year with A.J. Brown? They're 8-1?
Oh,
he's been on the field. I need to find the exact stat, but
or with a certain amount of snaps.
I think it's over 60% snaps.
Okay,
you're 8-1.
Wow.
I mean,
it makes a difference.
Dude's kind of a big deal out there. Yeah,
yeah. He does so many things for your offense too. Like even with an offensive line that won't give you more than 2 or 3 seconds, he's so good in these short routes to make plays happen after he catches the ball, and that's the biggest plus with a guy like A.J. Brown is not only does he have pretty good hands. He does have some cases of the dropsies here and there. But what he does after the ball's in his hands is what makes him insanely valuable, too. That type of athleticism, I mean, you don't need to throw the ball 30 yards down the field to A.J. Brown, for him to be effective. And you saw that last night a little bit as well, and that's kind of what sparked the offense.
Well, I just think – I think there's a tangible confidence – from Tannehill that comes with A.J. being out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and look, you get it. You understand why. I think he trusts Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. I think he trusts Anthony Firkser. You know, those two guys, they've been together for a while. They've got a lot of film together, a lot of practice time together, all these things. It's different with A.J. Brown. Tannehill knows what a playmaker A.J. Brown is, and, you brought up the free play last night, which
the Aaron Rodgers special.
Yeah, it's the Aaron Rodgers special, and it's good. Look, I'm glad Tannehill chucked it up there. I would actually, when it comes to just being A.J. Brown, I'd like to see him do that more, even not on free plays. Just give him a 50-50 ball and see if he can go get it for you. And we talked about that some as well. I mean, that's not a – I would say that's necessarily something from A.J. Brown that we see a lot is him just going deep and you throwing verticals to him. But I would like to see that in the offense a little bit more of, don't get reckless with it, but A.J. Brown probably come down with a few 50-50 balls out there, be my guess.
He could, but that's the dangerous thing about that, too, is that was what I call the Jameis Winston special, where you close your eyes and say, screw it, Mike Evans down there somewhere, and you chuck the ball as far as you can, and sometimes you get it to Mike Evans and he can make a 50-50 play, or sometimes you overshoot it by 5 yards and the safety's coming back the other way in what is basically an arm punt. But that's what Tannehill's done sometimes this year on longer throws. He hasn't been as great down the sidelines with his passes. But when you have A.J. Brown, that's what I wanted Julio to be when Julio got here.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's the guy that you can stretch the field with. Hasn't really been the case, but A.J. Brown did show that catch was a tough, contested 50-50 ball, go up and get it catch. It would be nice to see more of that, but I don't know if I trust Ryan Tannehill to do that more than 2 or 3 times a game.
By the way, one catch, 7 yards on one target for Julio Jones last night. It kind of felt like he was out there for – look, I've not seen the official snap count, so I probably shouldn't say this, but just from me watching the game, it kind of felt like he was out there half the time and half the time he wasn't. I was like, okay,
yeah.
Julio Jones.
It became noticeable whenever he's on the field. It was like, oh, there's Julio. And now it's at this point, we were spelling Julio, W-H-O,
yes.
Leo.
Who?
Because the guy's been a non-factor, and which is – there's reasons for that, and a lot of that's the hamstring. I don't know how on a scale 0 to 100, what percentage Julio Jones is at health-wise, but he's clearly not getting you anything right now, and I think that's what you now just have to expect as a Titans fan. And on the coaching staff, too, you can't expect him to give you much right now just because you don't know what he can do. And I guess A.J. Brown is, I would say he's a little closer to 100% physically than who so. Julio Jones is.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Break it down, a big win last night for the Titans. They improved to 10-5, and now have got a chance to clinch the AFC South this weekend. We'll see what happens between Arizona and Indy. More of Robbie and Rex Road coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing. Lender, Robbie Stanley, Elijah Campbell, Max Herz here with you on this Friday morning, Christmas Eve, here in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line. Speaking of our text line, it is Free Beer Friday, served by Joyland in East Nashville. And right now, text in the keyword joy. That is joy. To the game line right now at 615-737-1025 and be qualified to win a Joy Beer and Joyland's new Smash Burger Deluxe. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Spreading some joy this holiday season.
That's the best way to do it.
It really is.
With free beer.
I mean, you could already have your in-laws hanging around. Shout out to my in-laws, by the way. Love y'all. But you could already have your in-laws hanging around and maybe... No, free beer is not a bad way to go.
Maybe free beer will make the interaction a lot more enjoyable.
It could be.
I've learned from experience.
Yes. Speaking of our text line, Raymond on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I've been complaining about Tannehill all year, but I got to give him props for last night. It was a good job. Happy holidays as well. Thank you, Raymond. We appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the text, Raymond. I think last night was... probably his best game of the year in terms of just limiting turnovers is so big.
Yep.
Ryan Tannehill, outside a handful of plays in the last couple of weeks, has been good enough to keep you in games that you end up losing, with the exception of the Patriots game. I think the Patriots game, the failed fourth down when it's still 19-13. I think it was 19-13. That failed fourth down conversion on the goal line, which I thought was an atrocious play call. I didn't like that at all.
Rolling him out to the right? Yeah. It drives me nuts.
Not a huge fan of that. Unless he's like running, but I thought last night was one of his better games for the sole fact that he just didn't put you in a position to give the other team great field position. Like, he didn't lose you the game. I thought the offense and the interceptions, the fumble snap against Pittsburgh is the sole reason they lost that game. Like, the number one reason. The Titans were the better team than the Steelers. That was an inexcusable loss that the offense choked away. They learned from that, and a defense that turns you over just as well, they were able to keep a turnover-free game. They played a much cleaner game than they have in previous weeks, and that's where Ryan Tannehill is valuable. He only threw for 209. It wasn't like he threw for this Peyton Manning, Tom Brady-esque 350-yard eye-popping performance. He essentially only threw to one receiver, but he moved the ball well enough to just get them to score enough points to end up winning the game because the defense kept him in it, and the defense gave them great field position. The Amani Hooker interception was really what kickstarted the offense into doing anything, in my opinion. You got a little bit of confidence. You got a little bit of, I guess, a little bit of juice after being able to start a drive inside Niner territory and be able to cap it off with a touchdown and finish a drive for once in the end zone. Like, that makes a huge difference, and that makes Ryan Tannehill look a lot better. The difference between Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo last night was the interceptions. I think they're essentially the same quarterback. You show me pictures of both of them, I will tell you it's the same picture. Like in The Office. They're the same picture.
Both good-looking guys, yeah.
Good-looking fellas. Top six or seven in the league in that category, yeah, for NFL quarterbacks. But they're essentially the same quarterback. Is that if they can keep from turning the ball over, they're going to win their team's games. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is, when he throws an interception this year, the Niners are 1-6.
Yeah.
They're 7-0 when he refrains from giving the ball to the other team. And I'm sure if we look at Ryan Tannehill's stats, it's very similar in that regard. If you quit making stupid plays or doing dumb stuff to hurt the team.
Shout out Vrabel.
Shout out Mike Vrabel. Then you're going to win a lot of games if your defense is the caliber defense that the Titans and 49ers have, which is great run defenses. The Niners don't have a great pass defense, but the Titans' pass defense showed out last night and caused the turnovers that eventually made the biggest difference in the game.
Tannehill finishes 22 of 29 last night, 209, a touchdown to A.J. Brown. He made some big throws last night that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Also, on the drive where my favorite Titan of all time, Randy Bullock, kicks the game-winning field goal.
Yes.
That's a huge run by Tannehill.
Clutch.
To pull that down, mm-hmm, make the move, get the first down, and get it into San Francisco territory. That was a gigantic run by Tannehill last night. And you know, they were talking about on the broadcast of should they use Tannehill's feet more. I don't know about that because he is averse to sliding, and I don't even know if he knows how to do it. And we talked about that a lot here on the show. That was a big-time run from Tannehill last night to get them in position to set up. Now, the way they handled that after, I mean, it worked out. I'm glad he slid over to the right hash and gave Randy some room to kick it.
Yep.
But they were acting like, I guess, that they were, you know, it was a 28-yard field goal. And I was like, on that last play where he runs over and basically doesn't try to get any yards, just dives down. I was like, you know, this is still a 44-yarder. It's not like
it's not
a chip shot.
No. Especially in the NFL this year where kickers have been notorious for shanking extra points.
And I'll tell you.
Field goals past 40 yards. And at first, when the ball went up, I thought it was going to sail.
It was close, man.
But I thought for a second it was going to sail past the upright.
But that's on us for doubting Randy. Man, what a kick.
Randy Bullock in the clutch this year, man. Like, he hasn't been reliable on a bunch of extra points this year, but, like, when it comes to winning the football game, he'll win it for you. Like, if it's on the line, Randy Bullock hadn't missed.
Congratulations to Trevor in Jackson, who has won the free beer. We've got a couple more of those to give away a little bit later today as well. So, congrats to Trevor, our first winner of Free Beer Friday, brought to you by Joyland in East Nashville. Taking more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Liam texting in, I asked earlier this week if Garoppolo didn't stink anymore. Thankfully, he does. Those were awful mechanics and decisions. The Niners have a lot of nice pieces, but he's laughable. Makes me feel a lot better about Tannehill. Liam is quite down on Jimmy G this morning.
Well, Jimmy G still was the reason they got back, helped get back in that game too, because George Kittle wasn't making many plays.
He was not.
Last night, he wasn't very available, and I don't think Jimmy G is a top 10 quarterback by any means, but he wouldn't make me feel better about Ryan Tannehill, so to speak. I think they're the same one. The difference is one guy threw an interception that gave a touchdown the other way and missed an open pass, and the other guy refrained from doing that. And like I said, Ryan Tannehill, only 209 yards, and a lot of that came in the second half. I think at one point he had about 13 or 14 completions for under 100 yards.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like that first half, first three quarters even, a lot of necessary dinking and dunking. But just like the thing is, like Ryan
Tannehill
just 55
total yards at halftime.
Yeah. 55
total yards at halftime.
Yeah. I mean, just the thing is, he didn't turn the ball over. So your offense, like if your defense is that good, and the Niners are in the exact same position, both their defenses are that good. If you can just keep from turning the ball over, they're going to make you plays to keep you in the game. And that's really what it boils down to. That's what boiled down to in the Steelers game. The Steelers in the same position, too. Their defense wins them a lot of games because Big Ben's not winning them for them.
Yeah.
But when Big Ben refrains from turning the ball over, or at least winning the turnover battle, Steelers beat the Titans, like you saw, even without having to move the ball at all.
Max Hurst, what did you think of that game last night? Watching it in person at Nissan Stadium, Max Hurst bringing the noise.
Well,
last
I wanted to start with an in-person observation about Jimmy Garoppolo, okay, which is the most common 49ers jersey I saw on visiting fans was number 5, Trey Lance.
I bet it was.
So I think that tells you everything you need to know right now.
Backup quarterback's always the most popular guy in town.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he should be the starter. So, especially after what we saw yesterday.
I am a big Trey Lance.
But it was a great game to be at as a fan. I'm going to dub that the least exciting game-winning drive in NFL history, but it went exactly according to script. As soon as you get that last first down, you're doing the math. They've only got one timeout left. All right, this field goal is going through with what? 4 seconds left? 3 seconds left? I felt like Romo up there, and it worked out. Plan A worked.
I will say the final play of the game last night for the Niners.
Oh, incredible.
It took like, literally 25 seconds. But there was a moment there where George Kittle started like blasting up when he was the one with the ball, and I was like, oh boy, this could get hairy. And then it did.
Is there like a team in the NFL, and it's Mina Kimes tweeted this as well, and I was thinking the same thing, that is more equipped to run a last second play like that, where you just have all these athletes on the field, like Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle.
Positionless football on the fucking ladder.
So much positionless football. Like, that's the best hook
and
ladder
team. Trent
Williams
just mauling people out in front, exactly. Creating a wall.
You have the best hook and ladder team in football in the Niners. That's a real possibility. It's an unofficial crowning that I have for them to be the best hook and ladder team in football. But they're well equipped to do that, and they almost messed around and got something on that last play.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Going to be joined by Joe Rex Road coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. He is traveling on Christmas Eve, but is electing to join us anyway. He's got the itch, man. He's got to talk some football.
That's right. It's almost like an addiction.
Yeah.
Sports talk radio. It's dangerous. It can snowball.
It can.
Next thing you know, you're doing it on Christmas Eve, and when you've been doing it all week,
yeah,
it's a bender. That's all this is.
William from Madison texting in. Hey guys, Merry Christmas. Did you hear Greg Olsen calling Derrick Henry Hunter Henry? If I could speak, Hunter Henry at the beginning of the game. He did it twice.
I did not catch that, yeah. But that is hilarious.
Now, as you just,
that you would never mistake for each other.
As you just heard, I mean, you can screw things up. I screw things up all the time speaking. I will say, like, there are certain guys that you probably should just get their name right, like Derrick Henry, Hunter Henry. You know, if I called Aaron Rodgers Chester Rodgers, probably not the same thing. If you're calling Tom Brady Wayne Brady, I mean, these are all very different things.
Especially in that setting, too. Like,
yeah.
That's the big thing, you know. Like
Hunter Henry is not out there for the Titans. Well, you don't say.
Wow. It's funny. He hasn't been there all year for the Titans.
Yeah.
Or last year. Or the year before. But that's funny. Like, those mistakes happen in broadcasting. Like, I make them a lot. But that's the that one's pretty good. That's one of my favorite ones of the season so far.
Hunter Henry. Not out there last night for the Titans.
They look just alike.
Caleb texting in. How important is the number one seed for Derek? Now, we are getting back to the point, getting close to the point now where the Derrick Henry part of this discussion is about to heat up. You know, the Dolphins game coming up. They've got, obviously, a break now until next Sunday when they'll take on the Dolphins. You close it out with Houston, and we'll see what the status of Derrick Henry looks like. You know, I'm not going to completely remove it off the table that he could be out there against the Dolphins. Like, we've heard people talking about, all right, could he be available for the end of the regular season? I have no idea. I have no information. Obviously, I'm not, you know, having daily conversations with Derrick Henry out there. But this is the time of year where I think it's safe to say that Derrick Henry watch has probably begun for Titans and Titans fans.
And here's the thing, too. We talked about this, you know, off air. It's that, like, when do you, like, depending on his health, like, you don't want to have to use him in Miami and Houston because there is a good chance that there is re-injury. You want to be able to rest him as much. Now, the yep. Dolphins-Saints game is a little more significant in this market now because if the Dolphins lose and a bunch of the other clusters of 7-7 teams in the AFC are able to win, and that puts the Dolphins basically out of the playoff, you know, race, like, obviously, the Raiders and Broncos, two 7-7 teams, they're playing this week. Like, you want the Dolphins to get eliminated from playoff contention to where you don't have a desperate team coming into Nissan Stadium.
Right.
And you don't want to have to use Derrick Henry until the playoffs, especially if that means you have a one seed. You take care of business against Miami. You take care of business against Houston, which you didn't do at home.
Shout out to Davis Mills.
Shout out Davis Mills and that Mike Glennon-esque neck of his. Then you can go to the playoffs as a one seed. And then you have an extra week for Derrick Henry to get better. That's why the one seed is so significant. Obviously, it's significant to begin with because you're the one seed in the playoffs. You will have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But now that you see that it's, you know, that it's possibly obtainable, it buys you a week to get optimum Derrick Henry, which makes you the optimum Tennessee Titans.
Well, let's not make any mistake about it. And look, I understand what I'm about to say. Most people's response is immediately going to be New York Jets, Houston Texans. The Titans should win these next two games, with or without Derrick Henry. If you're telling me A.J. Brown's out there, and he's A.J. Brown like we saw last night, the Titans ought to beat the Miami Dolphins, and they ought to beat the Houston Texans. So,
100%.
Look, I get it. They've had some bad losses this year, and you know, just imagine if you beat the Texans the first time and the Jets earlier this year, you are sitting pretty right now. I mean, you're in really good shape. You've already won the division at that point, and the one seed is looking pretty good. Now, look, I mean, there may not be much you can do about the one seed other than just take care of your own business right now, because I look at Kansas City, who currently is the one seed. They got Pittsburgh coming in this week. I think they're going to destroy Pittsburgh.
Should. Pittsburgh is the most, like, they are the most unimpressive team over 500 in the NFL right
yes.
now. And that's saying a lot because there are a lot of just butt average teams in this league right now that are sitting at 500 or slightly above 500. I think the Steelers are just the most unimpressive.
They've got Cincinnati after that on the road, which, look, that's interesting. Cincinnati, right now, they're number one team in the North. You just, with them, you never know who's going to show up. So, but now that's a losable game for Kansas City. You got the Broncos to close out the season. So, look, if I had to put money on it right now, my money would say Kansas City probably going to end up winning all three of those games and probably is going to be the one seed. But
this is the way they're playing right now, too. I mean, they're playing their best ball at the time you want to be playing your best football. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously, the NFL is unpredictable.
It's been especially unpredictable this year. But if you're the Titans, all you can do is take care of business in front of you. Like, hopefully, you know, the Colts lose this weekend, and there's not a division race you've got to worry about heading down the stretch as well. Now, last night, to me, it goes a long way towards wrapping up the division. I mean, the Miami game and the Houston game are very winnable. I know Miami's won six games in a row, and they're playing better now. There's a lot of paper tiger to that, I think. The schedule that they've had has been pretty laughable.
They take advantage. They've been opportunistic.
Look, credit to them. I think the funeral that people were having for Tua earlier this year, I think he's quieted that down a little bit. He's played a lot better. Mm-hmm. He still is. He threw a heck of a pick six last week, and I was just like, oh, boy.
Against a bad Jets defense.
So the Titans, I think, still should be in a good spot as they move forward here with Miami and Houston left on the schedule. But that's just a massive win. I'll be honest. I didn't see that coming last night. And, you know, I knew A.J. Brown was going to be in there, but San Francisco had been playing really well. The way that first half started, like, I honestly thought about 10 minutes in the game last night, I was like, the Titans are about to get beat by about four touchdowns. Like, they're about to get destroyed in this game. And credit to them for battling back. And I will say, here we are again. They were underdogs in this game. A lot of people didn't give them a chance to win. They win again. The Mike Vrabel special lives on.
Yep.
It's kind of crazy how he continues to be able to do this.
It defies all logic, too. Yeah. Because when you told me that no Kendall Lamb, no Taylor Lewan, no Roger Saffold, and you're going to have to play Dylan Raiden's at left tackle against Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster. And for an offensive line the last couple weeks that hasn't been able to keep Tannehill upright for very long in a passing game that has looked so bad, to assume that they were going to exploit the Niners' defensive weakness by going through the air like that with that offensive line, like, that's why I picked the Niners to win that game. I really thought they would, just because I didn't see on paper a way for the Titans to win it based off the offensive line being so unhealthy. But kudos to the offensive line stepping up, too. That is the unsung heroes of last night's game. Has to be them keeping Tannehill upright long enough. Only got sacked twice and kept him upright long enough. No, sacked four times. Just kidding. Garoppolo got sacked twice.
Yes, yes.
Still sacked four times. But gets him upright long enough on some of those plays, especially in the last drive, to help win the game.
Well,
they didn't get him killed, and I think that's the biggest takeaway.
Well, and
he survived.
We knew last night from running the ball was going to be a little bit more difficult. I mean, they ran for 270 against New England. They put up over 200 against Pittsburgh. I mean, that front last night, I mean, it was tough sledding running the ball. Foreman ended up with 9 carries for 17 yards. So you're talking 1.9 a carry there. Mm-hmm. Hilliard, 5 carries for 20 yards. I mean, McNichols was their leading rusher, 7 carries, 31 yards. Tannehill was 2. With 3 carries for 22 yards.
A lot of it came
so,
on that last run
yeah,
and
a lot
the,
of it,
the drive.
I mean, he had a 23-yard run on that last run. So
if I'd have told you Ryan Tannehill would have been the team's second leading rusher with all the running backs they use and their emphasis on running the ball in this offense,
yeah,
you wouldn't have thought they'd win that game.
No.
Especially with the way that the passing game has looked the last couple weeks. No. I wouldn't have believed they won that game, honestly.
No. So, I mean, it's a credit that you dig deep, you find a way to win there. I will say, and we had a texter point this out too, we've talked a lot about A.J. Brown and the impact he had on this game, and Todd Downing as well. Let's not have A.J. Brown throwing the ball anymore.
Oh, man. Yeah, I retract all my compliments.
The timing of that, where A.J. Brown is just cooking. I mean, Josh Norman's got to hate coming into this stadium because he's either being baptized by Derrick Henry or he's just getting cooked by A.J. Brown left and right. Look, I like creativity, so I'm not just going to totally just blow up Todd Downing for that, but let's just...
I like creativity when you're down 10 in the first half and you need a spark.
Let's not have A.J. Brown throwing the ball anymore. That one probably should have been picked off.
Oh, absolutely. I just hate the timing. I hate the timing of it, the situation of that. Like, that's not the time to get cute, man. There are so many times to get cute. Like, I am the biggest advocate of trickeration in football. I just don't like it. Like, imagine having to answer to Mike Vrabel after calling a play in which A.J. Brown threw the ball and it got picked off, and then the Niners win the game because they take over with less than 2 minutes left. Like, that's not a conversation as an offensive coordinator I would like to have.
Now, well, as soon as they pitched it to him, I was like, oh, he's gonna cut this thing upfield. And then I saw him winding up. I was like, no, please
what
don't.
What are you doing?
A.J., no.
They
lived to fight another day on that one.
And, I mean, in the milliseconds that were in between, you know, A.J. Brown putting the ball up to throw it and then actually leaving his hands, I'm like, someone better be wide open. I do not want him making a tight window throw with the game on the line. Running the opposite direction. He just ran across. He's a left-handed thrower and was running to the right side of the field. So he just went across his body, too. Like, it didn't make sense. That one was not an ideal play call, I guess, would be the nicest way to put that.
ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. And Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's 4 locations. You can help us achieve our goal of getting shoes to 100 kids in the Nashville area experiencing homelessness. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Joe Rexroad, who is traveling on this Christmas Eve. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans last night. He was there in Nissan Stadium and what this means for this group as they move forward. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.